Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're faithful because he's faithful. Amen? Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the compassion of God. And we're going to show you from Scripture that this compassion is what God has been trying to pour out on the church for a long time. This is the kind of thing that God will use to turn the very hardest of hearts. You may have loved ones that you've been praying for. And if you can learn how to walk in this compassion that God has available, your being with them and them being in your presence will melt their hardened hearts. So don't you want to know about the compassion of God? If you have your Bible, let's go over to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read a few verses there. And we're going to see that in this compassion of God, Jesus usually would either heal, set free, he would feed people, he would simply move in a way that was uncharacteristic. Matthew chapter 14, verses 14. If anybody has it in the King James, authorized Father God, I'm kidding. I'm waiting on that. Okay, he's got it there. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion, moved with compassion, moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Verse 15, please, if you can get it up. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place." So he's still flowing in that compassion. That compassion did not leave him. Saying, "This is a desert." And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said unto them, he's still operating out of that compassion, "They need not depart. Give them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So here they got 2 loaves of bread and 5 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." Now watch the compassion of God. It not only heals, it does signs and wonders. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did a few eat. The compassion of God covers all. And this compassion, you have the same potential for this compassion to dwell in you. And aren't you happy about that? Man, when I found this out, I said, glory to God. Now I know why I'm spending so much time pursuing him. Because I want that same compassion. It's the compassion that we need when we go into a prison and we find men there that their hearts are hardened, and just the presence of God begins to come out of us and be present, that it'll begin to melt their hearts and God will begin to heal and set free and deliver. And they did eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments. So the compassion of God even doesn't just barely get the job done. It's more than enough. Come on, somebody. They took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. So tonight, we're talking about the compassion of God. Let me very briefly define the biblical compassion of God. You're going to find a lot of definitions in Webster's dictionary, but here is from my studying, and I'm still working on this definition, but it's what I hear from the Spirit when it comes to compassion. What does it mean? Compassion, the biblical definition, is to recognize the sufferings of others. Whether it be you could find somebody that couldn't pay their house note, but yet that compassion flows out of you, and you're able to pay their house note for several months. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to put yourself in financial jeopardy. It means that God has provided through the power within you, that compassion in you, you're able to do that, and God does not leave you diminished. Amen. Oh, this is going to be good, I'm telling you. The biblical definition is to recognize the suffering of others, then take appropriate action prompted by the Holy Spirit using the power of Almighty God. That's compassion. God pulls that, he out of that pool that you're going to find here in a minute, there's a capacity within you to love. Now, most Christians, you have a capacity to know about God. Come on, somebody. You have a capacity to know about God. This is how we're trained and taught. You're taught to read your Bible. You're taught to come to church so you can hear the word of God. But very few are taught to spend time in fellowship with God one-on-one. Because out of that fellowship, God begins to reveal himself to you. The love of God begins to be evident to you. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize you're made in his image. Now, many Christians will say, oh, now, hold on, Pastor Craig. No, you were made in his image and in his likeness. Now, I'm not calling you God, but whatever I can see God in his humanity do, I'm going to do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, sir.
Jesus in his deity, I'll never compare. I'll never do anything he can do.
Right.
But Jesus in his humanity, I can do everything he did.
Amen.
And if he can multiply five loaves and two fishes, they can feed over 5,000 people. If he can walk on if he can speak to a dead body and come on now. I'm in the right crowd, I think. I think y'all with me tonight. Praise the Lord. It's that compassion that's within me. When he went to Lazarus' tomb, it was the compassion of God that, yes, he loved Lazarus. Yes, he was Lazarus' friend. But more than that, it was the compassion that was in him that flowed out of him that created that miracle, the compassion of God. Usually, many Christians, we spend our time, when you go to most church services, most Christians send the wrong person to church. They don't send the person in the spirit. They send the person in the flesh. This is why in most services, it'll take an anointing of compassion to get to their innermost being. This is why a lot of people can't be healed. This is why you can't help them emotionally, because there are more. When those emotions kick in, those emotions are stronger than their will to listen to what the pastor is saying. Amen. You ever talk to somebody and you're trying to tell them the things of God and you're trying to coach them and all they can say, yeah, but you don't understand. Why? Those emotions are stronger than their will to listen and understand what you're trying to tell them.
Yes, sir.
The emotions have taken over. Mm-hmm. This is where the compassion of God has to come in. God has been trying to pour out this compassion on us for several years with little success. But this compassion, it belongs to the healing family, meaning God wants the anointing on every believer to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is what I call the anointing of the believer. Every believer should be walking in this kind of anointing. Mm-hmm. How many of you know what it says? This should be your mandate. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is right when he just came back. He says, and these signs will follow them that might believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. I'm a believer. Are you one? I'm setting you up now. Be careful. Now, if you're a believer, here's what you do. In my name, in Jesus' name, you will what? All right, not just for the sake of the argument, for the recording, there are people in this room. So how many of you cast out a couple of devils this week? Glory to God. For the sake of the recording, there's three or four people that raised their hands. cast out some devils. All right, let me take another poll. How many of us spoke with new tongues? The whole room should raise his hands. Everybody in this room should be speaking with new tongues. Go ahead, verse 18. I hope there's a verse 18, right? Okay. And they shall take up serpents, and if it drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, let me say this. You don't put God to the test. You don't go out and find a bottle of strychnine and drink it and say, well, he said I wouldn't die. No, see, you're walking outside of the will of God. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, and I believe the if is implied also in they shall take up serpents. There was several churches I read about several years ago. One minister died. They called themselves snake handlers. And in their services, they'd have rattlesnakes in these little things, and they'd pick them up, and if you were anointed, you wasn't going to get bit. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm serious. That for you to prove that you were an elder or a deacon or amongst those that are in the know, you had to handle a rattlesnake, and if that thing bit you, well, you wasn't going to die. Well, this one pastor, he got bit and he died. Okay? Now, I don't know what the law did about all that, but I think they kind of moved in there and tried to quench that. But my point is that you don't test God. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they what? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you laid hands on the sick this week? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you had a 100% success rate? I understand that. I'm saying, we're not saying by faith. You saw in other words, when Jesus laid hand on the sick, it wasn't by faith. It was what? It happened. Amen. Now, this is where the compassion of God comes from. This is why it's needed in our lives. Because if we're going to walk like Jesus walked in his humanity, sure, he believed by faith, but we saw the evidences before he went to heaven. Now, there was one time when he laid hands on the sick and he didn't get instantaneous results, but he prayed for him again and he got the results. Every person that we see that Jesus prayed for got healed. So we as believers, if you are a believer, we as believers have to be careful that we don't keep saying by faith. And I get what we're saying when we say that. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying there's a pool of compassion available on the inside of you. And if you learn to tap into it, you'll see it every single time. That doesn't mean you should quit laying hands on the sick because you're not seeing instantaneous results. This anointing of compassion, it has the very presence of God in it that deals directly with people's spirit to make permanent change. If we can learn to walk in this kind of compassion, those heathens in our lives, those first and second cousins, or even maybe our brothers and sisters that have been walking wholeheartedly, man, if we can get in their presence, that presence of God, that compassion that's within us will begin to rise up and it'll break down every defense that they have. Amen. How many of you know who a man named Smith Wigglesworth was? That's what he did. Do you know what Smith Wigglesworth, one of his secrets that he did? Smith constantly was worshiping God. Amen. Andrew Warmick has a teaching on worship, and he says the church doesn't worship God enough. We should be worshiping God all the time. Amen. Now, we're instructing you to set aside time to worship God, but out of that, it should flow into, I worship God all the time. Is I'm driving down the street and I'm going, Father, I give you praise. It doesn't mean I have to worship him for 15 minutes. It just means that I'm worshiping him on an interval and a regular level. Amen? Amen. If God could turn this type of anointing loose in our church services, we would have the best of two worlds. Number one, we would have the absolute signs and wonders that are seldom seen. When was the last time any of you saw a signs and wonders service? Been a long time since I've been in one. Yeah. You were in one recently?
Miracles on the Mountain.
Where's okay.
The
Amen. Well, I'm just saying, that's why I said very seldom seen. And we would also have the same level of signs and wonders. Now get this, pouring out on the inside of us in compassion that will reduce ourselves to change. See, once you begin to tap into this compassion, what's going to happen is you're going to begin to see change in you.
Amen.
All of the bitter water in you is going to flow out. And the only thing that's going to be left is a brook of sweet water. Mm-hmm. I have a message that I preach out of James. Can a brook bring forth both bitter and sweet waters? Mm-hmm. It cannot. Nope. Cannot. When this kind of compassion is released, it would sweep inside of an auditorium. As people were filing inside, they would meet the very presence of God, fall under the power, and begin to weep.
Amen.
This is the kind of days we're going to be expecting here at Dominion Training Center.
Amen.
Then that same anointing would then sweep through the parking lot to the degree that people that are driving by or people getting out of the cars could barely get out of the cars. They'll fall down and they'll weep. Their entire lives would be changed in an absolute instant.
Amen.
As cars are driving by, the same anointing will begin to affect them as well. They would seemingly come into their car, the power of God or the presence of God would seemingly come into their car, and they would have to turn into the parking lot. This kind of compassion would cause people to be reduced to revival even in the streets. How many have ever been in a Kenneth Hagin meeting before? When everything in the place was totally still. That was the compassion of God that hit that place. Mm-hmm. No one was moving. Nobody was talking. Nobody was singing. Nobody was coughing. Now get this. And not even a baby crying.
Wow.
The place was totally silent. And I'm not talking about for 1 minute. I'm talking about for a long time. You felt or even knew that the presence of God was in that very place. Several years ago, there was a church here in town that God poured out this compassion on it at one time. The result was when that compassion hit that church, there was a half-inch acrylic pulpit that was split down the middle. That pulpit was split right down the middle. The compassion of God hit that place. But that's not all. Every person in that building was on the floor weeping before God. The pastor who was ministering that morning was trying to minister to some people that were just weeping uncontrollably, trying to get them born again or whatever the challenge that he had there, and he became shorthanded. So he sent for the elders that were in the back room in the church, and he sent someone to go get them. When they didn't come back for several minutes, he did what? He sent somebody else to go get them. That person didn't come back for a long time. When they didn't come back, he decided, I'll go back and get them myself because I need some help. And when he went to the back room, you know what he saw? All of the elders were slain in the spirit, and the people that he had sent to go get them, they too were, the power of God hit that place. This is a true story. True story. And I'm talking about it happened maybe 10 years ago. True story. Hadn't happened since. Bless God, we believe it's going to happen again. Amen. And if we learn how to walk in the compassion of God, learn how to release the compassion of God, it will happen again even in our lifetime. But that's not all. The presence of God was so strong that he could barely make it back to his pulpit to continue to the pulpit area to minister. When he reentered the sanctuary, here's what he saw. He saw people trying to come in the building who had never been to this place before. And as they entered into the building, they just fall under the power of God.
Amen.
Later, they described that they were drawn to this place. Some said that it was a power that was so strong that as they were driving by on Federal Road, I just gave you a hint of where the church is, on Federal Road, they were compelled to pull into the parking lot and come in. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the outpouring of the compassion of God. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. That's what we should be trying to accomplish through private worship.
Amen.
See, the compassion of God, it bypasses the flesh and it breaks whatever strongholds that may have kept people from him. See, there are just some people that are so hard-hardened, you're going to have that compassion of God flowing in your life. So when you get around one of those people, instead of you going, you know what, this is not going anywhere, that compassion will begin to rise up out of you, and it will begin, the very presence of God will be upon those people, and they'll begin to weep before your eyes. Now, there's going to have to be some changes that take place in us for that compassion to flow that way. This hasn't happened at this little church since then. However, we will see it again, but this time it's going to be bigger, more frequent, and the harvest of more soul.
Amen.
So if we'll begin to worship God daily, privately, there is a capacity on the inside of you that will house the love of God.
Amen.
Today, the love inside of you. Now, don't let this sound condemning, because it's not. There is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
Today, that love may resemble a thimbleful. But as you continue daily in private worship on a continual basis, that flow will begin to grow to the size of a man's hand. And if you'll continue to be faithful in it, eventually it will grow to the size of this room.
Amen.
And if you'll be faithful in it, if you'll continue in it, it'll grow to the size of Lake Houston. Then God will begin to pour it out on others. Everybody around you will begin to be affected by it.
Amen.
You'll walk in a grocery store and everybody on your aisle, they'll be laying prostrate. They won't be getting their bread and cookies. They'll be laying prostrate. They'll know it's coming from you. And they'll say, help me get born again. I see the error of my ways. And the manager will come on your aisle and he'll escort you out. Well, he'll try. And he'll fall down too, right? And he'll try to escort you out of there, but he'll fall under the power of God too. Now, isn't that some exciting times? That's why we're doing this, folks. We're not doing this because we're trying to be a Mr. Big Bad Christian. No, we're doing this because it's time for revival.
Amen.
And revival doesn't have to happen in four walls. God wants you to take revival outside of the four walls. Well, when I got to praying and studying, how's he going to do it? I began to realize it's the compassion of God. Let me ask you a question. Jesus, did he speak all the time in the synagogue? No, man. He healed and taught. He taught on a mountainside. He taught wherever he could. Why? Because that compassion can flow anywhere a born again or a person with a new nature and spends time with God. It can flow out of them. So let's talk about our capacity to house this compassion. It is the Father's desire to pour out this compassion to the degree that not only signs and wonders begin to flow, but the gifts of healing will also be in operation to come upon his people with his supernatural power and start making permanent change on the inside of them.
Amen.
God wants to make permanent change on the inside of you. God only visits you out of the permanent change that comes in you through fellowshipping with him, whether it be private worship, meditation by assimilation, praying in the spirit. When you begin to pray and the edification process kicks in, what will happen is that the Holy Ghost inside of you, inside of your spirit, will begin to go, here's a problem that we're going to have to get rid of. Here's something we got to get rid of. Now, it's your decision to get rid of it. You may choose to hang on to it. One of mine was smoking marijuana. But when he brought that to my attention, And he says, now you have the power to get rid of it if you'll just abstain. I didn't know technically. I didn't know spiritually. I didn't know all the ins and outs of it. All I knew was to obey. And that morning when they passed that joint around that little circle I was in, I just simply said, I choose to abstain. Didn't know what the word meant. All I knew was I was abstaining. And so when they, and I guess everybody else there that everybody else in that circle knew what it meant, and they just passed it right on by me. And I thought it was going to be an awkward moment, but it wasn't. Wow. And the people in that circle came to me several months ago and asked me, 6, 7, 8 months ago, and they said, how did you break the habit? Now, I wish I could have told them, but I couldn't. I just knew it happened to me. Well, now I can look back on that and I can see how it happened. When I began to pray in tongues, it brought about change. And I chose, when I saw the change that was needed, I knew it was wrong. I was convicted in my heart that it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. It began to wear on me and wear on me. And finally I said, I'll give up. I'll just quit. And then I went, but how am I going to quit? These guys are going to disown me. These are the only friends I've got. What's the first thing most Christians think about when they get born again? I'm going to lose all my friends. Good. Amen. You need to lose them. But we're so worldly minded, we're concerned, I'll be all alone. Listen, with Jesus, you're never alone. Amen. It may seem like you're alone, but you're never alone. To literally make strongholds, the power inside of them would bring permanent change. To literally take strongholds and pull them down, to reduce them to something that has been surrendered by the absolute sheer power of the presence of God. That's the compassion of God. Amen. You have the potential to walk in that kind of compassion. Amen. You have the potential. God has already done it for you. But you're going to have to spend time with him and allow the love of God in you to begin to bring permanent change. There are some things you're going to have to get rid of. If I were to tell you in this room, we're going to put brand new chairs in this room. Brand new, pretty, beautiful chairs. What's the very first thing we have to do? Take out the old chairs. Well, if God's going to bring in the compassion, his compassion into your heart, there's some things that are going to have to go in your life. Amen? Amen. Now, initially, you may think, for example, it's like being born again and hearing that you're going to lose all your friends. Initially, it's a shock to you because you're just so worldly minded. Okay. But after a while, you become so spiritually minded, you realize them friends, what they were not really friends. They were acquaintances. Amen. Also, when this compassion begins to flow, there are going to be so many verifiable miracles that no one can dispute them.
Amen.
They're not going to be able to tell you, well, they just weren't sick. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have the disease. No, it's going to be undisputable.
Amen.
It's going to be verifiable, the compassion of God.
Praise the Lord.
When you're born from above, God is not just simply your God. He is your heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now, when you begin to spend time in worship, you'll begin to learn him, come to know him as your Father. Jesus said what? He says, call no man Father but your Father in heaven. I believe when it says honor thy father and thy mother, he wasn't talking about your natural parents. Don't get mad at me now. I understand, pastors, you're going to write me some ugly letters. I believe he was referring to God the Father, your nurturer and your protector. So I think he's referring to. Call no man your father, because you have but one father. I'm going to bring a message real soon. It's going to show you that when Adam was created, Adam wasn't created like an angel. Adam was born. I know everybody be like, where are you going with this, Pastor? The first Adam, he was born. He wasn't created like an angel was created. He was created out of the dirt, of the dust of the ground. Now, here's what throws you. You hear the term, and God breathed. Since when did God have to depend upon something he created. You really think God breathes? He takes a deep breath. God doesn't breathe, folks. What that is saying is in John 1:1, he pulled out of himself the life that was in him, and he put that in Jesus, and it's the same life he put in Adam. Amen. He pulled it out of himself, but Moses didn't know how to write that down. He couldn't comprehend that. Now, that's just my interpretation. But Adam was not created like an angel. Adam was born. Meaning, born means to be made of something that is already living. Created means you've been made out of a substance that didn't exist. You see what I'm saying? Adam was born. This is why the Bible says, Jesus said this to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, am I going to go back to my mother's womb? He says, no, what's of the flesh is of the flesh. What's of the spirit is of the spirit. You were born out of your mother's womb. But actually, you were born out of Adam, because you receive Adam's spirit. But when you get born again, you're born where? From above. Glory to God. Adam was born from above. There was no above. The above was God the Father. And God took out of himself, the same way he took out of Jesus, the life that was in Jesus is the life that was in the Father. Go back and read John chapter 1. It explains it all to you. He took out of himself. And listen, when you got born again, God took out of himself and placed his spirit in you. Amen. So you think he did something less with Adam? No, he did not. He put his own spirit, his own nature in Adam. It was when Adam had a soul is when he gained his individual personality, and the same with you. Looks like I lost half the crowd, but I'll leave that alone. I'm going to leave you alone. We're going to preach on it one night. I'm laying a little groundwork out there. But just remember this. You were born from above. Amen. Your father is God. Now, you may say your father is Milton or Luther or whatever, but trust me, you were born from above. Amen. You have the same spirit that he has. However, your spirit must be developed. There are several parts to your spirit, and many of these parts you don't even know about. Why? Because you don't spend time with God to learn what they are. If you did, you'll begin to learn about the different compartments in your own spirit. Is that so hard for you to imagine? Let me ask you a question. How many different compartments is in your natural body? How many different components is in your natural body? The heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the spleen, the liver, the immune system. There's all kinds of different components in your natural man. You think your spirit man is just a blob of spirit? No, it has different desires. It has different things that you can feed. Now I'm opening up some eyes tonight, boy. I see y'all going, man, pastors, I'm going out there on the far end. But it's all biblical, I promise you. I promise you. All right, let's go on. But there's this one part I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's a part of you that discerns and craves knowledge. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem with that. Mm-hmm. Most Christians, they crave and discern knowledge about God, but they never desire to know him personally. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to, and in most parts, I just heard this in my heart, this is the difference between lukewarm and those that are red hot. This part of your spirit that craves and discerns to know, not just about as in reading the Bible, reading it in a Bible or book, the Father intimately, as in experiencing his presence. This part inside of you wants to understand his word, understand the operation of his kingdom. We desire to have the mind of Christ to drop on the inside of us and understand what he's saying. Your spirit has the capacity to discern and know who God is intimately. Your spirit, not your natural mind, your spirit. As I said earlier, there is a part of my spirit that has the capacity to love, and it also has the capacity to contain the love of God. Now listen, let me say this. The number one thing God is looking for in born-again children of God, well, one of the number one things, but remember this, he's looking for a desire in you to know him intimately. May I say it again? One of the essential things that God is looking for from every born-again child of God is not their tithe. It's not their church attendance. It's not their reading of the word every day. What he desires from you, I just gave it away. He desires for you to have a desire to know him intimately.
Amen.
If you allow your problems to overwhelm you, it will wash out your desire to know God. If you allow the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, it'll wash out your desire to know God. The reason why this room is not packed out is because the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the challenges of life come roaring in, and we lose our desire to know God intimately. I won't be shaken off.
Amen.
John Osteen had this favorite saying. I don't necessarily use a whole bunch, but he says, I'm going to climb the mountain of God, and I'm going to cling my hands into the robe of God, and I will not be shaken loose.
Amen.
And what he was saying is this. I don't care who around me doesn't like God. I'm going to become just like him. I'm going to become just like him. You have to have a resolve in you, a desire in you, to want to be just like your heavenly Father.
Amen.
And don't let people put you down about that.
Right.
They criticize Jesus because he says he was his Father. They didn't like that. But God is my Father, and I can be the spitting image of my Father.
Amen.
I'm not saying I can create universes. I'm not saying I can create another man. What I'm saying is that I can speak to mountains and my Father will move them.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Hallelujah.
I can become just like my elder brother. Amen?
Amen.
The Father loves them with the exact same love that he loved Jesus with. There is another part of my spirit that has the capacity to hold the love of God with the love that he loved Jesus with. And you need to learn about this area in your heart. You have a capacity to hold the love of God the same way Jesus did. But you've got to recognize that God first, he loves you. If God loves you, that means he's not going to allow anything to happen to you or yours.
Amen.
Nothing.
Praise God.
So if you say God loves me, and you wake up, you go out here tonight, and this happened about 6 months ago, and I got a flat tire.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall apart like a cheap watch. I said this about 6 months ago and went out, and somebody had knocked in my passenger side window.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? We just go get the window fixed. We're moving on with God.
Amen.
Okay? He is who he said he is. I'm not going to break down and go, oh, I can't believe it. They knocked out my window. Oh, God, I'm in there preaching the word, and you left them knock out my window. God, we go, well, who are you? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. He didn't say you would only have them once in a while. He says many. the signs and wonders that Jesus performed came out of the love of God contained within him while he was here on the earth. We too have this same compartment in our spirit, designed and created by God to perform the exact kind of miracles. The same love the Father poured out on Jesus is also poured out on us. The same love wherewith he loved Jesus is the same love that he loves us. The very same love. And in my spirit, there is a compartment to not only hold this love, but to become a reservoir that others can come and drink out of it at will. That's what God is looking for us, for you. The capacity to know him intimately. To illustrate what I just said, I'm going to use a parable. Now, a parable is just a simple story that illustrates a spiritual principle. There was this computer nerd, and his only quest was for computer knowledge. He was oblivious to the world around him at work. Fashion meant absolutely nothing to this guy. When he goes home, he doesn't watch the kind of television programs or read the kind of books you and I would. No. Instead, this guy, he stays on his computer for hours and hours into the night, learning more and more about computers. When he hears of a virus that is destroying someone else's computer, he's home building his own program to defeat it. His brain puts out an enormous amount of power, but it's all channeled into what? Computers. He seldom eats because he hungers and thirsts for knowledge of computers. He is only pleased with himself when he designs the kind of program that surpasses anything on the market. Unlike the other co-workers, he is simply unconscious to the fact that the boss has assigned to him the most attractive admin in the place. He simply doesn't care. Then one day, several months later, the boss transfers computer nerd girl to his department. And then it happens. He has discovered love for the very first time. Suddenly, computers take a back seat. As he has swept off his feet, he is experiencing love for the very first time. Now his world is turned upside down. From this point on, he has discovered something in him that can no longer be satisfied by computer knowledge, but it can only be satisfied in the presence of his newly found love. Now I'm setting you up. That's what private worship does. You lose your love of the world.
Praise God.
And you discover
Amen.
this being
Hallelujah.
That loves you so much,
Amen.
That wants to bless you so
Amen.
Much.
Praise the Lord.
Now listen, he's been trying to pour out this compassion on you for several years. Mm-hmm. He's doing all that he can to pour out the anointing on you that can remove burdens and destroy yokes in other people. Mm-hmm. But he can't. Mm-hmm. Because he knows it'll destroy you. Mm-hmm. So he has to wait mm-hmm. until you can spend time with him and build yourself up on the inside. Mm-hmm. A capacity to love him, to realize that you're loved, and develop that compassion on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. And then he can begin to pour out of that compassion onto others. You can only get it one way, ladies and gentlemen. It's not for sale at the local bookstore. You can't get it from your local Christian bookstore. You can only get it from spending time with him.
Amen.
And it's available to all of us. It's available to the, how old is Violet? Six? 7 years old? It's available to those of us that are in our 60s. Actually, those of us that are in our 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, we have a greater capacity to walk in it.
Amen.
You know why?
No.
because we should by now understand and know God so well
Amen.
That we don't, he didn't have to prove himself to us.
Amen.
We can now accept it by faith.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying young people can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying usually the way of the world has them so distracted
mm-hmm.
that now we should know, you know what? Mm-hmm. That stuff is about nothing.
Amen.
Living in a big house, driving fancy cars, that's the world's way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that God didn't want to give you that, but that's not why you've been put on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You've been put on this earth to show forth the praises of him
Amen.
Who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, here's what he wants to show your praises for. He wants to show you off to the world that you can heal the sick, you can raise the
Amen.
Dead, you can cast out devils. That's what he wants to show the world, and there'll be no doubt about it that you did it.
Amen.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot be contested. Similarly, there is a capacity within you that is not just satisfied with just knowing about God,
mm-hmm.
but rather to know him intimately.
Mm-hmm.
There is a capacity in our human spirit, a pool of compassion that can be filled up with God that can only be discovered by spending time in his presence.
Yes.
Praying in tongues can't get me what worship can, but worship can't get me what praying in tongues can. I've had some people say, well, I'll just spend time praying in tongues. I won't worship God. You'll be mortified. You'll be built up. There'll be certain things that you can happen that will happen to you, but understanding his presence, you'll not get that. Then you don't want to simply spend time worshiping God. Why? Because you have all these faults and things that are in you that need to be purged and mortified. And if you don't get them mortified, you'll be loving God and saying, God, I want to do all this work for you. Well, you've skipped the part of edification.
Amen.
Somebody bang into your car in a church parking lot because they're full of the Spirit of God. You come out there and want to knock the head off. Don't shut me down now. I've been around pastors at big conventions, and they have a certain air about them in the service. I've been with them behind the scenes. Different story. Different story. They're the king of the jungle. When I snap, you say how high. Don't ask me what I said. Just do what I ask you. Yes, sir. Cause me not to want to work for you. That's been many large things I went to here in Houston, and once I went behind the scenes and worked with them, and I went, oh no, if this is what ministry is all about, I want no part of it. I almost said something I shouldn't have said. Let me say it this way. Many of you wouldn't last 1 week at a church. You think it's a place where, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, oh Jesus. Psh, please, you ain't listen. I'm just trying to tell you, we have some growing to do in the body of Christ if we want to get to the place where we see signs and wonders and God moving in our lives. You know, the other day I was talking with someone, and I said, how God is not concerned how my wife treats me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's going to write this down, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
She's already got a notebook out, I can guarantee you that. God is not concerned how she treats me
mm-hmm.
when it comes to him and our relationship.
Right.
He's only concerned how I treat her.
Amen.
If I walk in and say, did you see what she did? He's going to say, no, but I saw what you did.
Yeah.
Whoa, man. What about what she did? I'll deal with her. I'm going to deal with you.
Amen.
Yeah, I've had people at churches that say, you know what, God? Man, I want to leave this job. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go find me a new job. The same devils that are harassing you at this job, they're going to meet you at the next job. You may as well take care of them devils now. Because they're going to follow you. Because you're under a spiritual attack and you just don't know it.
Amen.
Yeah, but you understand. It's so much pressure. No, what God is trying to do is to get you in a place and in a position where he can change you and allow the compassion of God to begin to grow and expand in you. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to teach you how to love, unconditional love. Let me ask you a question. What if Jesus one day would have said, Father, why am I going to the cross? These jive time knucklehead disciples, half of them don't believe what I say. Some of them just act like they don't, they want to run the whole show. I don't think going to the cross is going to do any good for these boys. See, you laugh because why? That doesn't even sound like Jesus. Well, if that doesn't sound like Jesus, how can you say it? Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. This is why you come to Dominion Training Center. Not to be kicked around, but to be told the truth.
Amen.
So you can now be set free. And you can now grow and become the child of God that he destined you to come before the foundations of the earth. God doesn't fellowship with you based on the amount of hours and days spent in your prayer closet. Instead, he fellowships with the permanent change that the disciplines that we teach produce in your life. If you never prayed in tongues another day in your life, you'll retain everything he has already given you as long as you're using it to serve others. Mm-hmm. However, if you never continue to advance in him until you spend time in his, you'll never continue to advance in him until you spend time in his presence to bring permanent change. Mm-hmm. The more time spent in his presence, increases your capacity to love and increases your capacity for the compassion of God. How many of you know that many times they found Jesus out in a desert place praying? I don't believe he was always praying. I believe he was out there fellowshipping with his Father. Prayer is not simply asking for something. Prayer should be a communication. You should, if you spend more time in your prayer time asking God for things, you don't understand who you are.
Amen.
Your Father already knows what you have need of.
Amen.
You don't have to write it down and show it to me. He already knows.
Amen.
What you should be doing is developing a relationship with him and learning how much he really loves you. Because if he loves you, he's not going to let that bill go unpaid.
Amen.
Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. I'm coming to a close. In fact, I am closing right now. Out of this love, a more excellent way, growing and developing in your heart, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal the Father to you as your Heavenly Father. Your Father is so in, he told me to say it like, he is so in love with you. And I'm understating it. But your Father is so in love with you. You don't understand. And you won't understand until you spend time telling him, I love you. I love you with all of my heart. I love you with everything that's in me. Every fiber of my being love you. I love you more than life itself. I love you. Now, the natural man walking by you will go, what's wrong with him? But the man of the Spirit will say, he's developing himself into the love of God.
Amen.
He's getting to know that his Father really and genuinely loves him.
Amen.
Powerful stuff, folks.
Yes,
powerful stuff.
Amen.
Your Father is so in love with you that he'll do anything within his scope to reach you. For example, if you truly desire to spend time with him, remember I said the number one thing he's looking for is desire. If you truly desire to spend time with him and the devil somehow maneuvers you out of that time, this kind of heart desire would not be left undone. This kind of heartfelt desire will pull God into your very presence and he'll begin to reveal yourself to him. Or reveal himself to you. That kind of desire. So don't tell me I don't have enough time. If you got the kind of desire, He'll pull himself into that desire that you have, will pull himself into you, and you'll go, now I could probably wake up about 10 minutes early and give him a little bit of praise. Well, that 10 minutes will turn into 20 minutes, 20 minutes turn into 40 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, and before you know, you're praising God all day long.
Amen.
See, he's just looking for a desire. He'll do the rest. Breaking in. You'll need to listen to your own heart and let him guide you as to how much time he wants you to spend time with him every day. At first, it won't seem easy. It'll seem like a stretch. God is always going to stretch you.
Amen.
He's going to always stretch you. But you know what I tell God? I want more anointing. I want more anointing. I want it yesterday. I want more anointing. I want to be able to have a room full of your presence every single time we have a Bible study. And he goes, well, you do this then.
Amen.
And I'm going, I ain't got enough time. He said, I thought you were serious. I thought you wanted me more than anything else. You begin to realize how much you really want God. See, it becomes obvious. For you to spend that kind of time with God, for you to have that kind of anointing, it means you're going to have to spend time with God. It means you're going to have to turn off the television.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell my wife, I said, I'm going to go upstairs now, and I'm going to be chilling with Matthew Dillon. Well, I may not be chilling with Matthew Dillon much longer, because he's calling me to a closer walk.
Amen.
All that may have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Am I not allowed to watch television? Sure I am,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you want to do.
Right.
But if you want more of him, you got to cut some things out.
Amen.
You got to cut some things out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you just got to cut them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you can't look at him on judgment day and go, it wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. He's going to go, hold on. And he's going to let you see everything you did up on a big screen. It won't be his movie. It'll be coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see yourself making these decisions. And you'll wonder, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
In light of eternity. So here's what I do. When my flesh goes, you don't really want to go in there and pray this morning. You really don't want to go in there and worship him today. You want to just chill out. I go, one day I'm going to be in that throne of judgment, and I don't want any reasons why I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Amen.
It just keeps me going.
Amen.
Just keeps me motivated.
Amen.
That moment. And the thing is this, tomorrow is not promised to any of us.
Amen.
And the thing is this, you want to stay ready. Amen.
Amen.
It will all, the schedule that he gives you will stretch you. But if you'll maintain his schedule, you'll be amazed at the change you'll begin to discover that is taking place on the inside of you. God will begin to show up. First, he'll begin to show up you in your spirit. That presence will begin to be more obvious. Secondly, it'll begin to show up in your body. I'm sorry, it begins to show up in your mind. All of a sudden, you're more sharp about the word of God. You're hearing his voice. You're recognizing his nudges. You are seeing what he's trying to do. And then thirdly, he'll affect your geographical area. And that means the people that you touch and come in contact with, they'll be affected by the same presence that's on the inside of you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I just taught tonight is not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You have, as I said last week, because of the nature that God put in you,
mm-hmm.
we worship him in spirit. We have a nature just like his. In truth, we have the capacity to become just like him.
Amen.
You're within range to become everything that his word says you can become. You have the capacity. You're in range to become all things are possible to him that believes. You have that capacity. It's in you right now. How do you bring it forth? Spend time with your Heavenly Father. The compassion of God, it is very real, and God wants you to flow in it. God wants you to have it. He wants you to have every bit of it, all that you can handle, but you're going to have to get to know him on a one-on-one basis.
Amen.
I always questioned God, why couldn't I have learned this 10 years ago? You know what he told me? Because you were too busy.
Mm-hmm.
pursuing the things of the world. I was. I was. I was pursuing a career. I thought that I had to go make a whole bunch of money and then I serve God. Wrong. Wrong. You serve God now, and then he puts you in a position to make a bunch of money. I had the thing turned around. He says, the reason why you didn't know about these things is because you are preoccupied with the things of the world. Now, I'm around Christian friends all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. They think I'm weird. And sometimes I look at this crowd and I think you think I'm weird. But you know what? I could care less. I don't ask you to put nothing in that offering bucket. I don't ask you to put a dime in that bucket. So I preach what I want to preach. If you don't want to come back next week, don't come back next week. I'll be standing up here. I'll be believing God to put money in that bucket, and I'll be preaching until he brings them in. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to like be talked that way, but that's just who I am. I want to be out on a limb as far as I can go with God.
Amen. I agree.
Well, do you think you'll ever be looking like a fool? In your eyes, maybe.
Amen.
But that's all right. He don't look at me that way. He's looking at the desire in my heart to know him more. And I'm doing all that I can to work this thing out, man. And sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes I make a mistake. But I'm getting better at it. I've had the kind of week and a half that I'm going, I don't know what I'm going or coming. He says, just hang on to me, man. Just hang in there with me. Don't stop worshiping me. And I wouldn't.
Amen.
This morning, I had to take care of some more issues, man. And sickness tried to come on my body. He says, just believe me now. Just believe me.
Amen.
Just believe me. And it's lifting.
Amen.
There's a little linger there. But it's going to go.
Amen.
Why? I'm trusting in him, man.
Amen.
I'm not doing this on my own.
Amen.
I am not my own.
Amen.
To him I belong.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.